The first scripture I want to read for you tonight is from Deuteronomy 26. And then after that, I would appreciate it if you would acknowledge what the Lord has done for you personally in bringing you into a good land. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 26, the first 11 verses. It says, "When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us.' The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household." Very good. Good stuff. I just want to take a minute to give you the chance, and I think we should, you know, if you're normally reluctant to stand up and tell good things that the Lord has given you, take the opportunity. Acknowledge the Lord and Savior and say, "I did come from a land of slavery, land of sin, bondage, and here I am. I'm not there anymore." It's good for us to look back into the past like this man is doing, or like God is commanding the Israelites to do. Here we are in the land of promise. Yes, we have to wait until it's fully realized, until Christ comes again. But we know the Lord, and we receive his blessings, and we should always be giving him thank offerings and acknowledgement that he has brought us this far. So I'll give you the opportunity to stand and say the same. All right, let's sing number 788 for our next hymn then.
Thank you.
second reading, actually, there's a typo there. It's Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and then the end of the chapter. So if you want to follow along in the Bible, that's where it is, Ephesians 4. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, since God has brought you into the land and blessed you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Now, if you'll turn to number 625, Son of My Soul, a very lovely hymn we can sing together. 625. The third reading is from 1 Corinthians 12. You will have heard these verses before, I trust. It says, the body, just as the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. There it is again, that word one. Into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And on that note, let us sing a couple of short choruses that celebrate our unity in God's family together. I will sing 419 twice through, and then 425, which might be new to you. I don't know, 425. Okay. at the end of a year, it's good to do what we've just done, don't you think? And that is to acknowledge, in a manner of speaking, as Samuel said, thus far hath the Lord brought us. Okay, he's brought us this far. We have come out of a land of slavery, so to speak. We've been brought into a lovely inheritance. We've been brought near to God from a faraway place. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And I trust that each of us can say, along with the psalmist, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I declare this day that the Lord has kept his promise that he made to the patriarchs. He added me to the number of the redeemed. You know, I am one of those stars that Abraham was challenged to go outside and count, okay, if you could. It's important for us to be acknowledging always the grace of God in saving us. And we shouldn't ever deceive ourselves that at any point in our lives that we deserved to be saved. My father, truly or figuratively, you know, was a wandering Aramean about to perish. Okay, and not my father. My father is Estonian, but you know, figuratively speaking, the Lord brought me out of a strange land. Okay, and he brought me into his inheritance. Like the hymn says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Okay, but now I'm not. Now I'm not. I'm safe on shore, right? That's what the hymn says. Safe am I. I've come into the land. And not only am I safe, I've been joined to this multitude, to this family. Okay, God is my Abba Father. But thankfully, I'm not an only child, am I? Okay? Particularly, there's this group of brothers and sisters here that, you know, that I see you all on a regular basis. I have a special relationship with you, you know, as a microcosm of the body of Christ. So the one, you know, this one verse that I just want to sort of leave with you to cap off the year, is kind of like the cherry on top, is Hebrews 13:1, which simply says, let brotherly love continue. Okay? Let brotherly love continue. Now, of course, the scripture says, do good to all men. It says, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? But I want to call special attention to the fact that there is, and there ought to be, a special love between Christians. A Philadelphia, that's the word, Philadelphia, right? It's the city of brotherly love, okay? That's the word in Greek, Philadelphia, brotherly love, that between us, that goes above and beyond and goes deeper and wider than our relationships with our fellow man. Christians, you Christians, you know, you're supposed to be more dear. Christians ought to be more dear to us because we have, we're siblings. We have the same father. Whereas those in the world, at least until they become born again, right, their father is the devil, okay? Until they're born from above, their father is not our father. We know, I trust that each of us knows, that we know the experience of having received God's immense grace, whereas many people do not know this experience. They haven't had it. Well, okay, so the Bible says, do good to all men, but it says especially to those that are of the household of faith. Now, there's this family image again. Okay, it's brotherly love. We're members of a household of faith, where God is our Father, and we are his heirs, we're his children. So we are brothers or siblings. So we need to, when we spot other Christians, particularly each other, you know, we need to see each other differently with the eyes of our hearts than we see mankind at large that are still, you know, in a real sense, walking dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. That doesn't mean we can't have unsaved friends or even close unsaved friends, okay? It doesn't mean we aren't to be tender and compassionate towards our fellow men, towards outsiders, okay? But our relationships with each other in this room need to be, well, they're worthy to be elevated to a much higher level because of what we have in common, and that's Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of times Christians don't take care to make sure that this holds true. They don't take care to make sure that that's actually so, that relationships with other Christians exist on a higher plane. You know, there's this sweet fellowship that the psalmist mentions in one verse. And it kind of seems underdeveloped in churches. You know, your average church goer, well, I won't blame your average church goer, just take you or me, okay? You know, our typical relationships with the people that sit in the other pews generally are on the level of acquaintances and not so much dearly beloved. Do you take my meaning? Would you agree that that's true generally? I mean, yes, there's usually a small circle of those that we would say are dearly beloved, but generally, and I think that ought to change. We owe it to each other, we owe it to our Father to exercise brotherly love. Isn't that what the scripture says? That love is a continuing debt. Right, in Romans 13, I think it says, let no debt remain outstanding, okay, pay your debts, okay? But there's always this ongoing debt to pay love. There's always this continuing debt to love each other. So to honor one another, to cherish each other, like the scriptures we read said, conduct yourselves with all lowliness and with all gentleness. Endeavor, you know, strive. To preserve the bond of peace between each other. Make sure you speak truthfully to each other and don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay? So it's not saying you'll never get angry at each other. You know, you might, and you might get angry at me, or I'll, you know, say something out of line, or I'll forget to do something I should have done, or, you know, we drop the ball and we offend each other. But in Christ, that anger is going to be short-lived. Do you know? It's like as if you took a vial of red dye and sort of dumped it into the surf at the edge of the ocean. You know, in the ocean of God's love, that's just so quickly dispersed and it just kind of disappears. It's overcome by the understanding between you and me that we're both made of dust. We both need God's grace hugely every day, and we both stumble in many ways. So I kind of, even if my anger flares up, you know, it will quickly dissipate, hopefully before the sun goes down, you know, like the Bible says. That's the idea, you know. I understand. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We sin against each other, okay? With Christians in other churches, too, okay? Let brotherly love continue. Maybe we don't know them so well. You know, we invited at least two, if not three, other churches to come tonight. No, none of them are here. But you know what? We have something very important in common with them, and again, it's the Lord Jesus. We're their brothers, and they're ours. And you know, we ought to take measures to preserve that bond of unity. You know, have some fellowship, and we have one Lord, and because we have one Lord, you know, some of these doctrinal things or flavors of Christianity, we can't let those things become wedges that divide us apart. It's sad when Christians, you know, don't want to be with each other, or they won't associate with each other because, you know, they come from another background. Somebody might get off. I've been in two conversations that was funny because they came from opposite directions, you know, over the issue of election. They both almost said the same words, you know, oh, how can they believe that? You know, don't they know what the Bible says? And, you know, how much damage that position has done to Christians? And you know, how, okay, they both, you know, guys on opposite sides of the issue said that. And it's how come those guys aren't talking to each other? Let brotherly love continue. I don't think I can, you know, what would the author of Hebrews have said to these two men, you know, like what Moses said, men, you are brothers. Why do you strive thus against each other? Okay? You're brothers. Okay? And I'm sure I'm guilty of it myself, too, of you know, viewing a Christian brother with contempt or with anger over something where I thought, oh, how wrong that is, and or viewed other Christians as rivals. Okay? It's just, it's unfitting. You know, maybe that guy is a dispensationalist, or maybe that guy is a pre-tribber, or maybe that guy is a Calvinist, or whatever. But look at him. You know, he loves the Lord. You can tell by his walk and by his life, and you know he loves the Scriptures, and he's trying. He's not the enemy, right? Other Christians are not our enemies. Just look at him and say, okay, maybe they're different. Maybe they don't know everything about everything, but guess what? Neither do we. We all stumble in many ways. James says that, and he's talking about doctrine. Okay, we all stumble in many ways. He's talking about teaching. So that's why we need to remember this one short little verse, let brotherly love continue. Okay, that's how the world is going to know we're really Christ's disciples, if we love each other. So we gotta make more room, I think, in our hearts for folks from other churches, because we share the same Father. Okay, let brotherly love continue. Obviously, something can't continue unless it's begun already, right? So this it pre-assumes brotherly love has already begun. If it's going to remain, it's got to have started. And I think it's just good that we kind of take that as a personal corrective. Like I said a minute ago, we kind of seem to have a close circle of certain that we consider to be dearly beloved, but there are others that are kind of excluded. You might make the case, well, that's by their choice. I don't know what to say about that. Let's make it our choice to widen that circle. You know, if there's coldness in our hearts toward any other believers, let's address that, okay? Let's warm up our hearts. If there's hostility toward anybody in the church, you know, let's address that issue. Whenever there's a tendency to ignore or brush off or, you know, walk away or just not talk to somebody, okay, we need to change that habit, and we need to reach out more and interact with each other better. There's a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians that, to me, they're just so remarkable because it seems like this is not your average church. And I can only wish this for our church, and I really do wish it, and I hope you will pray for it too. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, and 10. He says, concerning brotherly love, same word, Philadelphia, okay, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren there in all Macedonia. Okay, we just urge you, brothers, that you increase in it more and more. To me, that's exceptional. Okay, he's saying we don't even really need to remind you to love each other. It's so obvious, not only just in your little church, but to everybody in your whole state, okay, how much love there is in your midst. And, you know, I would like to set that as a goal for us, you know, that the Spirit would continue to stir us up to that kind of love. You just kind of become famous for love. And one last thing. It says, let brotherly love continue. Okay, so here's the main thought. It's got to proceed into the future. Okay, you can't rest on your laurels. Okay, I did my share of love, so I'm done. You know, no matter what happens. Okay, obviously, tomorrow is a new year. I mean, that's the reason why we're here. New years bring new things. Changes are going to happen. Some will be good and some will not. As we've just said, in the last year, we've lost a couple of folks from our church, and we've gained a couple, right? What about next year? I almost don't want to go because I don't know who we'll lose. You know, I've been here 3 years now. We've lost somebody every year. And I don't want to lose anybody else. But, oh well, that's life. What family changes are you going to have next year? What individually, what burdens will you be saddled with that you will need help bearing? Okay, what kind of losses are you going to suffer? And what's our country going to look like a year from today? You know, are we going to be at war with somebody? Or where will wars be in the world? What developments are going to take place between Christianity and the secular culture? You know, how will that blow up and change? You know, what will happen in Israel this year? You know, all kinds of things. The world really could be really upside down a year from today. How rapidly is stuff going to happen? Well, only God knows.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But the author of Hebrews is saying this thing is going to stay the same. Okay, this, let this remain intact. Let brotherly love continue, no matter what all the, you know, what the background of your Christian life is. Let brotherly love remain firm and steadfast. Don't let it change like everything else, like shifting shadows. So, what was it, Ephesians, where it says, endeavor to keep the unity. Okay, endeavor to keep unity. You are going to need something constant to hang on to, you know, like a light when all other lights go out, right? So don't forsake your gathering together. That's what that same writer said that just a couple chapters previously. Don't forsake your gathering together. That would just be foolishness. It would be suicidal. Because you need this. You need brotherly love. Take the time to cultivate it, especially because that day is coming. That great day is, it seems like it's right up close. So I commend you all. I mean, I really am, believe me, I'm pleased with the state of Christian love in our church. You know, thus far has the Lord brought us. He really has. But Christian love is something that we really just need to give extra special attention to. It is a treasure. It is a prize beyond value. It's a blessing from God on high. And we only have it because we have Jesus. Amen. Other people don't have it. Amen. So let it continue. Let it grow. Let's make this a year of loving the Lord more tenderly, more zealously, more thankfully, but loving each other, this Philadelphia, this horizontal level, okay, more sincerely. Let me truly love you rather than just say I love you. Let me give more self-sacrificially. Let's love more expansively, you know, broaden our horizons because we're brothers, we're sisters, we're children of one Father. And that'll make us more pleasing to Him who was the first one to love us, right? He loved us first, so let's love each other. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and for your Spirit that dwells in us to correct and teach and to encourage us, Lord, to a deeper kind of love than we have known before. Continue to work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Looks like my battery just died. We have two more things to sing. 584, which may also be new, and I assume you all know the Glory Be. But if you need it, it's page 813. All right, let's sing. Dismiss us with prayer, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Our Father, we thank you so much for this chance to be here today. We pray that thou will bless us, help us on our way home to be safe, and guide us this year closer to thee. In Christ we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. You're dismissed.